talking about the concerns about when people develop more understanding or interested in more understanding, and how it seems that they may do less good by way of going to temples or showing respect to monks or other things that they're used to doing, and some people find this a concern. Anything else to add?
Ignore the ceremonies like Vesak or Kirkatina, etc.
What do you think is the reason they go to the temple less or ignore ceremonies?
Yeah,
I think you made a connection between hearing the Dhamma as we discuss it and going to the temple, less going to the temple and less attending ceremonies. Is that right?
And more seriously, it's that even they see the by coincidence, they meet the monk or they go to temple, but they don't pay respect. Or they may say that the Katina or Vesak ceremony or some activities of Sangha is unnecessary or no use.
What is your thinking about why they do this?
It seems to have something like look down that they may have more understanding than the monks.
Who is a monk?
Monk is those one who follow the teaching of the Buddha. Even just they may don't have the perfect sila.
Not perfect, but it has to be right.
They are also on the way and cannot require that they have some certain extent, this or that.
How can he have the understanding? By himself or what? By not study or what? By just pray or chant or what?
Those things the monks do are helpful in some way. Of course, it's not ultimate or complete, but it's helpful for the Buddhism in some way.
We don't mind whether it's complete yet, but what about right understanding and right path and right Vinaya? What do you think about monk who buys things, who has money and buy things? Do you respect him as a monk?
When we pay respect to a monk or go to temple, because monks and temple represent for the Buddhism.
And why people respect monk?
When we pay respect to,
why do they pay respect to the monk?
Not only a particular monk, but the whole Sangha.
At that very moment, why do people in general pay respect to the monk?
When someone wears the robe, that's the condition to bring the difference between the Sangha and the normal people.
When monk does not teach or help the others to understand the teachings, so what's monk life then? Just live or what?
Then with those monks, we later we may know that he doesn't have quality for us to follow. Then we don't associate much. But at the moment when we meet the monk, then pay respect. That's just the duty of the devotee.
I think what Achan asked is about the original reason for paying respect to a monk. because not because he's wearing a robe, right? Anyone is wearing something different from others, it's not a reason to be paid respect to. So there must be a reason that at the beginning people pay respect for the monk. So Achan is asking about what are the original reasons for.
Respect to the monks, or it means that to the pay respect to the virtue of the sangha.
But if you do not have any understanding from monk at all, and just pay respect to the person who live and not study.
At that moment, just pay respect to the one who represent for the sangha.
Yes, usually I pay respect. We all pay respect to the monks, like the one who went to discuss all the time. But we know that who can give us the understanding, we believe and respect that person as well. It does mean that we have to do anything for monks who do not study. We cannot tell that person to study or this person to study. What we just pay respect without getting anything from his being a monk. He lived the monk's life, but what do people get from him at all? Just to be respected?
It may be not really reasonable when think that currently there's not any monk which is qualified enough to be respected as monk, because monks there are also those monks who have good quality and understanding. We cannot say that now cannot find a monk deserve to be respected. And then,
so now you are looking for such monk, right?
No, I don't have idea to look for that.
So how can you know that there are monks nowadays who can help people to understand? You just think, but what is the truth? If you like to know who's who, you have to look for and find out. Not only the idea of some or when or something like that. What about now, at this very moment? We don't have any monk here, but we can respect monk at any time. But if monk can give us the understanding, we'll go and visit and learn from him. That's the reason to go to see the monk.
Then there is a thinking in the mind that going to see that person, then I can learn something. But going to see that person, the other person, then I will not learn anything. But actually, Dhamma can be learned from anywhere, anytime. Mm-hmm.
But now we are talking about monks, right?
Why are you reading the Buddha Sutta instead of reading other teachers' book like Christ, Jesus?
No, by condition I don't read others. And I will say that I will follow Buddha only.
So it's the same for us. That's why we listen to what we understand to be the right teachings, to be the Buddha's words, no matter where it comes from. No matter it's monk or layperson or tape recording or TV, but what we appreciate to be about the truth about dhammas, not about self doing this or that.
Yeah.
why we will read a sutta and reflect on it about dhammas in the light of anatta, because this is the Buddha's teaching. It doesn't mean if we happen to pick up the Bible or watch a cartoon on TV, there can also be understanding anytime, any place, according to the accumulated understanding. But if we are asked what is the Buddha's teachings, then we have to read and consider very carefully.
You also mentioned the point that we should go and pay respect to the monks because they represent the Buddha's teaching. So I think the monk are the representative of the Buddha's teaching as long as they observe the Vinaya and they represent their teaching correctly. Only in that way they represent the Buddha, right? So it doesn't mean that by going to pay respect to any person who's saying anything, only because he's wearing a robe, that we are really keeping the Buddha's teaching.
And I think you think that maybe we should just go and, because it is the robe, the orange robe, we should just go and pay respect to it. But a day will come eventually when there are no teachers, no teachings left, and just a piece of orange robe is worn. Do we pay respect to that? Because it doesn't represent the Buddha's teachings at all anymore.
So I would like to ask you more about the Vesak and Katina.
About the
Vesak.
Yes. What is Vesaka?
Vesak Day is to celebrate the day where Buddha was born, got enlightenment, and attained Parinibbana.
Without knowing the teachings at all?
Without
understanding the teachings at all?
You cannot say that those one who attend the Vesak ceremony doesn't understand about teachings.
Yes, but you asked me about Vesaka, you don't ask me about the understanding. So I think that is it for those who do not understand and just go to the temple and worship. And that is Vesaka, worshipping there.
Not really. Those one who understand about the teachings of Buddha also, they also may go to the temple to offer for Katina or celebrate the Vesak.
We don't talk about the other, just you and me.
Okay. Okay, I will go to donate for Katina ceremony.
At this moment, are you thinking about the verses of the Buddha? What about just one word of his teaching, so very valuable and should be respectful? Should be respected? Or just go and present the flowers? It depends on who. At that moment, on that day, thinking about what? Everyone knows that Vesaka is the birthday, or we can say that the day that Buddha was born, enlightened, and passed away. That's not enough. But on that day, or any day, it doesn't matter to be just the Vesaka day. Even now, we think about how long he had developed understanding for us. See, not only for himself, to understand whatever appears now. So that should be the thinking about Vesaka Day, not just go to the temple and
To what I have experienced, When I attend to an offer for lunch, offers and requisites for the monks, or any day, can be any day or some special occasions, the result of it is I feel maybe now currently I cannot explain it, but I feel that it has some power or some energy. I think it will support for the development of spirituality or understanding.
Yeah, but what is better, the even little understanding of whatever appears now and the power, what is better?
If you say that seeing or listening or touching here or there, everywhere is the same, so I win. So by condition, I win seeing at the temple, sitting at the meditation hall. Or,
my question is about the power and the understanding. If there is even just a little understanding of the truth of whatever appears now, is it better than what you call power?
Cannot say that when doing those offering don't have understanding.
No doing or anything, just the power you said and the understanding of whatever appears now. What do you think is more powerful or better?
I don't think, but to what I have experienced, is those moments seem to have seem to be something special.
What special is it?
Currently, I just feel I cannot explain how the reality there.
Couldn't Buddha explain?
Perhaps he has explained. I just remember that someone said that the merit of offering Katina is one of the very great merit.
But what you explain, what you cannot explain, can Buddha explain?
Buddha can explain many things which I cannot.
So please explain according to the Buddha's explain.
It seems to be, at that moment, it seemed to be calm and very concentrative and
talking about you, but we would like to understand what Buddha said about calmness.
Perhaps it's the kaya pasadi or kaya something.
Not perhaps. It has to be precise, to be very precise.
Not very obvious.
Hot seat is calm. Is hot seat calm?
I don't feel that this is a hot seat.
So, what did you say to yourself? So, when is there calm? At what moments is there calm?
When no restlessness.
So when is there no restlessness?
You can say that at the moment of understanding?
Or any kusala? At any moment of kusala there is calm. So for example, at a moment of making an offering at a temple, is it kusala at every moment?
Of course cannot.
So when is there calm?
Of course, it cannot be totally all the moment kusala, but it seems to be more than usual.
And how will it be known? How will there be any understanding or knowing of whether there's kusala and calm, or whether it's pleasant feeling
with attachment when it feels so nice, so pleasant. How will anyone know anything about it?
When there is the calmness or concentrative, it's not all the time with attachment. It's sometimes it's quite pure.
So how is it possible to know?
That's what can be experienced.
How is it known what is experienced?
I remember that feeling of that moment.
Like thinking about the feeling. And what is the feeling? Because we've talked before about feeling. Feeling is only pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So remembering the feeling, what kind of pleasant, what kind of feeling is it?
You may analyze that moment and to show that it's not understanding, but actually it was a present moment at that time.
Okay, so like now, what is the feeling?
Just normal.
What is normal?
Pleasant or unpleasant, special.
So neutral feeling. But at the temple it was pleasant feeling, right? Is that what you mean when you say it was the feeling that was special?
The body feeling must be pressure, right?
So at any moment, no matter here or in the temple or when we go for the walk or have breakfast, feeling is only feels. It's just pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral feeling. And neutral means not pleasant, not unpleasant. Neutral. And when it's unpleasant feeling, of course it arises with aversion only, so it's akusala. But when it's pleasant feeling, like, for example, when giving an offering, or when helping our friends, or when having a tasty cookie, pleasant feeling. But pleasant feeling arises with attachment, or pleasant feeling arises with moments of kusala. So if we just say it's special feeling is pleasant feeling. So what? Pleasant feeling most of the day. So only understanding can have any idea about whether it's pleasant feeling with attachment or pleasant feeling with kusala citta. So if it's just thinking afterwards about all that special feeling or that special concentration at the temple, it's just thinking now with attachment to that experience that's gone away. But just like now, who can say whether the pleasant feeling is with kusala or akusala citta? So we cannot be influenced by pleasant feeling because pleasant feeling is so common.
And also, except for the strong feeling of pressure, unpressure, so sometimes it's very difficult to realize that it's natural pressure or not.
Neutral. And when it's neutral feeling, like now, who can say whether the citta is kusala or akusala? And whose pleasant feeling is it? Is it my special pleasant feeling that I had at the temple? Or is it just a conditioned dharma that fell away a long time ago and is of no importance whatsoever because it's long gone, and thinking about it now is just clinging to the idea of that feeling that lasted an instant, just like feeling now. So like now, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant or neutral feeling, it's gone immediately, not of any significance at all. Not my feeling or anyone's feeling. So there's no understanding of seeing now, visible object, feeling now. It's then nothing will be known about such dharmas at any other time either. So this is why we keep coming back to this moment.
But understanding about the feeling only separately without the connection or relationship with those other dhamma arise all together at that moment, I think is not enough.
So what other dhammas arise with it, like now or then? Because you mentioned, for example, the special concentration then, but we discussed yesterday about concentration ekagata arising at every moment. So what is special about that one? What is it? How is it different from ekagata at this moment? Because like feeling, it just arises, focuses on its object for an instant and falls away immediately, just now or then or any other time. Just another dharma that's gone of no consequence whatsoever. Not mine or yours or anyone else's.
I was just wondering about the original point that you brought up.
Are we still talking about the paying respect to bhikkhus and going to temples and acts of merit, which you're concerned that those who develop understanding no longer perform any deeds of merit like before?
Yeah, if you still have something you want to talk about that, then we can come back.
Ajahn's question to you was going to the temple to pay respect or paying respect to monks. What is one paying respect to, and what is the citta at that moment? You are concerned about the fact that from your observation, some people you seem to know may not pay respect to monks who teach wrong view in the same way as they did before.
Why you add on that the monk who teach the wrong view?
I understand that's what you're saying.
Who represent for the Sangha, I don't say that what he does or what he doing.
So is that what you're pointing to, is they don't visit the monk so often, or when they see him they don't pay respect, or what? Or don't listen to his teaching? What exactly is the...
Mostly is that when they... when there is the condition for them to meet the monk, or someone asks them to have something, but they may refuse. So is that anatthanis when at that moment when refuse?
When they meet the monk, they refuse. Refuse what? When they meet the monk, they refuse.
So don't pay respect, or someone, the monk or the temple or devotee asks them to do something for the activity of the temple of the Sangha, but they refuse. Is that their personal decision then?
And so just to put the proper context for the discussion, and what is the connect? You are making a connection between their recent understanding of Dhamma and the refusal.
I think you're saying that when they are more interested in understanding the Dhamma, like here, they won't help with the temple activities so much. Is this?
It's easy to understand that when they have something else to be interested in, then they will spend less time for the activity of the temple. But the case that when they meet or they are asked to do something but they refuse.
Yeah, I used to do that. I mean, go to the temples and organize things and do things there. And now I didn't do it. Yes, there are many reasons, but for me, firstly, I see that it's less attachment to that kind of activities. Maybe more attachment with this kind of group. I mean, people, friends more closely, and I believe that more attachment and maybe spending more time for organizing thing and do this thing and the other thing. But I think that maybe there are reasons, like I see the benefit of that. Benefit of the thing that I believe that is good for me and good for the other. But of course, I don't say that there's no attachment there. There should be attachment because feel present with good friends and so on is kind of attachment. Yeah. But I think it's not a question about doing this or doing that, join this group or join that group is natural. It's natural thing.
Suppose that someone who has been following the Pure Land practice, and then one day they listen to what the Buddha teaches in the Theravada tradition, and they start to change their activities, then the people in the Pure Land also can say the same thing than what you are saying now,
rejecting
and everything. So I think it's really quite pointless to see in the behaviors, because depending on what the people have understood and what is their point of view, that they have the decision and the activities accordingly. So I think if we keep on seeing about what they should do or what we should do, then it's not really a good way. But I think it's better to focus on the teaching, whether what this teaching is right or wrong. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
And when we keep thinking about how people behave and what people do, it's like no understanding of any Dharma at all, no paying respect to the Buddha's qualities at all, because instead of understanding more about life at this moment, citta now, chetasikas now, rupas now, it's like keep thinking about how others can perform more merit or this or that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not so as stupid to spend much time for those things.
Chat about power, and especially power of ignorance. Would you like to say what you were having a little chat about, and then maybe Ajahn will add more?
I'm sorry, I already forget Ajahn. To what I remember, it's like when we said about power, let's say there's a lot of ignorance there, so there is the power of ignorance, the understanding, so this means there is power of understanding in terms of the functions, like the power of understanding is destroy kilesa, and the power of ignorance is keep away from understanding and something like that.
So better ask Ajahn, not
me.
Would you like to say anything about power of ignorance?
It's at moment of not understanding whatever appears. Any moment. Is there other power?
Well, only when understanding has developed highly, and then there are the powers that we mentioned yesterday of understanding and samadhi and sila and virya and sadha. But if there's no understanding now of the power of ignorance now, there can never be the development of these, the powers of the kusala states. So they have to begin to develop at this moment by beginning to see the power of ignorance.
Is understanding the teachings the best way to pay respect to the Buddha? So now it's not Visakha day, but we can pay respect to the Buddha by studying his words carefully and beginning to understand what we take for panya, right understanding, as it can be developed right now. Otherwise, how can it be as powerful as at the moment of enlightenment? So what is powerful now?
To what I have experienced, it seems that the power of concentration, it seems to be more obvious, and the panya or the ignorance, it seems that I haven't see it power, but just see the influence of it.
When you just talk about your own spatial experience, is it power?
I just want to say that it seems that the just it's easier to see the influence or the effect of the ignorance or understanding rather than see it, its power, because I haven't had the right understanding enough to the extent of power.
At that moment, is there concentration?
Ekagata.
Yes.
Ekagata only. I don't think that's the concentration.
So what is it? If it's not concentration.
Let's say the difference between the anger in mind and the anger to break the cup, that's it's different power.
I would like to understand whether ekagata is the samadhi or not.
I think the concentration of samadhi is much more powerful than just a single of ekagata.
Now we don't talk about anything, but I'd like to understand that there are altogether 52 cetasikas, right? Yes. And what is samadhi? You talk about ekagata or samadhi, or just only ekagata, or just only samadhi?
I think the samadhi is the result and combination of many dhammas, not only one.
Is it a reality which is mental factor?
Yes, mental factor is one of the realities.
So ekagata is unreality, right? One-pointedness, cetasika. Does it arise with each moment of citta?
As what I heard.
Just heard. And what's your idea about it? I have heard, but I don't know whether it arises, yeah, or not.
Yeah, actually, up to now, many things that just heard and accept and believe.
Okay, can citta arise by itself without conditions?
There must be condition for cittas to arise.
And why citta just experience only one object only at a time?
That is so one accept and believe to what Buddha said, because that's I cannot experience.
The body can experience ekagata with each citta right now, but we learn to understand the conditions for the arising of citta. At moment when it experiences only an object at a time, at that moment, it's not only citta, there is also other Chetasikas accompany too. And one of it is ekakata, one-pointedness. Why does one-pointedness arise with each moment? As a condition.
Because it's necessary. But actually the thing that... Actually, the thing that the one citta experience only one object at a time, that can help to explain many things, but up to now, just accept or believe in what is thought and heard.
Just believe or also try to understand the meaning of reality, the function and the characteristic too. For example, when we talk about citta, and we know that now it's citta which sees, it's citta which hears, there is the understanding whether what about the other cetasikas accompany it? What do they do at moment of citta arising and experiencing an object? Or they just arise or what?
Why is it necessary for ekagata to arise with citta, for example?
Of course, it will decide the intensity or the quality or the level or the appearance of what is experienced.
What the function of ekagata, of concentration, which arises with every citta, no matter it's the citta now or the citta with highly developed vipassana-jnana or the citta of jhana or any other moment, the function of ekagata is to focus on the object so that the citta can experience it. So without ekagata, the citta and the other cetasikas cannot experience that object. So each cetasika that arises with citta has a particular function. Passa arises with every citta, it contacts the object. So the function of ekagata is to focus on the object in order for citta to experience it, no matter now or any time.
So it's ekakata samadhi?
It's one of the conditions to bring the reality of samadhi.
So what is the reality of samadhi? Is it a cetasika or what? Because one knows that ekakata is a cetasika. So what is the reality of samadhi? Is it also another cetasika? Or it is ekakata?
By its sense, samadhi is ekakata.
So at moment of seeing just right now, is that what you take for samadhi? Concentration of focusing on an object, or it just arises to see?
I think it's too weak to become samadhi.
So ekakata itself, when it develops with other cetasikas, not it alone, can condition the moment of what you, everyone call concentration, right?
Yeah.
So without the ekakata cetasika, can there be samadhi?
Of course cannot, but not only that.
Right. So can there be just wrong samadhi? Or there must be also always right samadhi?
It can be wrong samadhi when lack of something.
What about if it is the wrong ekagata that arises more frequently? Can that be the wrong concentration?
It can be.
Can be. So like any time, like when one goes to the temple, or any time there can be right or wrong concentration, right? Or even now.
Well, they also believe that they are practicing follow the Buddha, such as the Sutta of Mahasatipatthana or Anapanasati or many other sutta which teach about meditation.
Can it be following what they call Anapanasati with wrong concentration also?
Now we are sitting here and to say that they are wrong or right, but that they themselves know what they are doing.
So what about now for us, right or wrong concentration at this moment?
There's no concentration this moment.
No. What about ekagata at this moment?
Yeah, it is.
So is it right or wrong ekagata, right or wrong concentration at this moment?
We cannot know because we don't know that is kusala, akusala moment, right?
That's the point. So if there's no knowing now, at this moment, what is right and what is wrong, how can we know when we think about what happens at the temple or when there's focusing on some special object? How can it be known if there's no understanding at all developed of what is kusala and what is akusala, if there's no understanding of dhammas at all?
So
there has to be the beginning of understanding, first of all, what is concentration, what is ekagata.
So what is, when you talk about samadhi, which you think is important, what exactly is it that you're referring to? If it's not just ekagata cittasika, what is your idea of samadhi, the concentration that you are saying is powerful and necessary?
It needs to have the combination of many reality to and for a period of time to bring to create or to make it powerful.
Yeah, that doesn't tell me much though, because just many realities. So can you give an example of what you consider to be powerful samadhi that is helpful for the development of insight?
How can you ask me to give an example about the powerful of samadhi? I believe that to what I have read in the sutta, which is about the four jhana, which is then I believe that it's necessary to that. Up to that extent or that level, only that can be penetrate the truth or the reality, which is very, very deep. And complicated with too many, connected with too many things.
So just to clarify further, you're saying that if there's jhana, then it is jhana that penetrates the truth? Or are you saying jhana first and then panya penetrates the truth, or what?
Panya penetrates the truth, but it need to have the foundation or the background
of jhana.
Now, currently, now how can that panya can penetrate the reality right now here?
Can it not just develop one moment at a time, from time to time?
So if it's not like one moment at a time and then building up gradually, what would be the other option?
To develop other quality or other wholesome, then that's the time to develop those things at that moment.
I think we agree with that. There cannot be understanding all the time.
I think that now you are looking for something which is not the understanding of whatever appears, right?
I still think that the understanding not only about the reality at one moment, but it's also necessary to have the understanding about, you may say that the story or the situation As I remember in the Girimanada Sutta, the Buddha teach about the contemplation about ten things, which is the inconstancy or non-self or unattractiveness or drawback or abandoning or dispassion or cessation or distaste for everyone or undesirability of own fabrication or mindfulness of the out in and out breathing, which is not all that the reality at one moment.
Have you heard about the story of a monk walking after Buddha, and that monk thought about going away from that place to other place in order to practice, and he said this to Buddha, and he said it no. And that monk didn't believe the Buddha at all. So he put on the Buddha's a bowl on the street, on whatever street, not on the earth there, down there, and he went straight to where he'd like. His name is Mekhiya. Look it up in the Tipitaka. Mm-hmm. And he stayed there for quite a long time. He gained nothing. Who knew better, the monk Mekhiya or the Buddha? That is not right time for Mekhiya to understand whatever appears, no matter there or wherever. Because while you are thinking that you are trying and you can do something to gain power of, I don't know what you go your aim for, whether it is right understanding of whatever is now appearing or something not now and here. So you try to do by different methods, and you think about power and concentration, no understanding of anything. So while you're doing like that, what is the purpose that you want to have understanding for?
In order to have the purpose is to have the final understanding that and those things, including concentration, is support for that.
So the objective of studying is not understanding whatever appears now.
Not all the time there is the.
Not all the time, just now, any time, when time comes, with the right conditions enough to understand better and better, to know that even now we are talking about seeing, but the mind go astray to other things, not direct understanding of seeing. That's why Buddha taught for 45 years to turn all the straight thinking about whatever not appear to be the moment of direct understanding of whatever appears. Because even now we're talking about seeing, they're thinking about other things, not direct understanding of seeing. So without the direct understanding of seeing, it's not the realization of any reality at all. Because seeing is a reality, hearing is a reality, thinking is a reality, concentration or one-pointedness is a reality, attachment is a reality, and aversion is a reality. No expectation to experience concentration or power or anything, but whatever appears now, would have thought that that should be directly experienced.
Let's say at the moment when you may step on an end, and then you may say that every time is seeing and then you may step on it without caring about that killing one being.
That is thinking. Yeah.
I think maybe you're having the idea that one can choose to understand the reality, or one do it on its doing the knowing of the realities. But even like Achan has explained, even understanding about kusala and akusala is about understanding of what appears now. So without, by conditions, there can be understanding or not of this or that, but no one can choose. And without any understanding, if you want, even if you want to do kusala, or if you want to restrain, there cannot be, that cannot happen, right?
When you look at some others doing or doing something, then you may often look at that someone doing something, but actually by itself it's just the chetana or some chetasika.
Consideration, do you see that can there be developing of more kusala without really knowing the characteristic of kusala when it appears? And to the degree that you mentioned about jhana or everything, is it possible by your own consideration, not about other people?
Not enough with the understanding about what you often mention, that by conditions.
What do you mean by not enough?
Let's say the example that at the moment when to observe or to break the sila, and you think that at that moment to pay attention to the seeing only, and then you may step on the end.
It's not a matter of paying attention to sila. Awareness is not paying attention or noticing. It's not something that takes time, so that if there's paying attention to seeing that one steps on the ant, it's not like that at all. It's just like normal, like now, seeing, hearing. So awareness just darts in any time. It's not like anything that is done. And so if we see an ant and step aside, it doesn't mean there's any less awareness or more awareness.
When
it doesn't mean that when there is awareness or when there is any understanding that life is different in any way. So why should it mean any that one steps on an ant because there's any awareness?
When every time and everywhere, just saying that the seeing or the hearing or the touching, then it potentially lead to the easiness or the laziness or the, and not any goodness can be achieved.
That would be wrong understanding of understanding and awareness. If there is the idea that developing awareness or understanding means kind of some laziness in daily life, and now one steps on ants, and now one's not friendly to one's friends, and now nothing is given away, that would be wrong understanding of everything we've been talking about.
Yeah, and can the thinking about killing an ant or not killing an ant can condition right understanding of whatever appears now?
They may step on the end by ignoring or don't pay attention, because at that time their mind is pay attention at dry understanding, or pay attention at the seeing or the touching or the hardness.
It's now the moment of thinking about end, right? Can it bring about the understanding of whatever appears now if we keep on thinking about killing or not killing ant?
And what does
saying about paying attention? I think what you're saying about paying attention to right understanding and therefore not noticing the ant. I can see that might apply if you have the idea right understanding is a kind of practice. And so now I'm practicing focusing on visible object,
yeah,
or something. It's not a matter, as Sarah said, of us paying attention. The awareness spoken of by the Buddha and what we sometimes refer to as natural awareness is a reality that means that a reality is seen clearly for what it is at the present moment, but nothing else changes. So if one is reading a book and there's awareness of sound, for example, it doesn't mean you don't see the print on the page.
Or that you read any more slowly.
It's not an interference. It's just an appreciation or understanding of a reality that's arising, or it might be awareness of the hardness. But there's no interference in the reading that's going on or anything else or the thinking. That's a different kind of awareness to the one that you're suggesting.
Like, for example, if there's paying attention to seeing or focusing on seeing or noticing seeing now, is there any awareness at those moments?
I think discipline is a good condition to support, to develop the understanding or the goodness, or the development of spirituality. When Buddha teach about the contemplation, about the this state of the world, or the cessation, or the impurity, etc. So what is that reality? If bring back to reality only, then there is no difference between the monk and the lay person, and no difference between any situation.
When you say realities and situation, they're two different things. So there's always a difference in situations, because that's the conventional idea. But there are always realities, a limited number of dhammas that are arising at any moment that can be understood. And that's the whole point of the thing, that it doesn't matter what the situation is, the realities that are arising at the present moment are the same ones that we talk about all the time, but they are not understood as realities, because we are paying attention to the situation.
Not really have paying attention to the reality, but when saying about the reality, there is, I think, understanding about the conditions there. Because you cannot say that no difference between different people or different situation. We laymen, we can eat after lunch, but monk, then at that time, for the monk, different condition, and then for them, that will be the after lunch. And if he eats, that's a different condition. Cannot say that by reality at that moment it's just the testing or the seeing.
But if he eats, what is the reality, that the difference you're talking about? You said if the monk eats, that's different after lunch. What is the difference?
After lunch is just normal, but for the monk, eat after lunch is that it will become the unwholesome. For us,
yes.
Not
what,
the unwholesome.
Okay, so we're talking about a difference. What does it mean it's unwholesome for the monk and it's not unwholesome for us?
Because we don't have to keep the
I know the reason, but the difference comes down to the reality, isn't it? For the monk, it's agusala gama. For us, it's not agusala gama. So it's always, the difference is always back to the reality of the present moment. So why say it's different if we don't try to understand what is the difference in terms of the present moment reality?
Talking about situation doesn't have to doesn't have to have condition for understanding about realities.
Is your only about reality?
because it is what the Buddha enlightenment.
About the moment, many moments to bring the situation or the sit or the story of doing something.
So why did Buddha talk about realities?
Buddha talked about many things, not only reality.
No, not at all. Not at all. He talk about realities in different manners, but they are all realities. For example,
in story.
No. You see that everyone knows that this is a cup, but what did Buddha know?
But the scientists they may just know about the neutron or something, and they don't know that this is the life or this is a society.
And did he teach what he knew to the others too, for them to know? Yes. So he knew what is this better than the others, while everyone knows that it's a cup. But what did Buddha know? That he taught the others to understand as he had known.
I think by extend or to explain about the dhamma, then
what is
Abhidhamma.
Okay, what is dhamma?
The phenomena or the
So now what is dhamma?
Dhamma, which is the nature of the teaching of Buddha.
No reality at all? Is dhamma here now? Is there dhamma here now?
Dhamma is reality.
Yes, is there dhamma here now?
Yes.
What is that? Which is dhamma now?
Too many.
One at a time, please, because there are different dhammas.
Because you often bring me to one at a time.
To what Buddha taught and to what Buddha knew.
Because if bring back to one moment or one reality, then no problem. But actually, there is many problem and a lot of defilement in this one. That's why the Buddha teach the way to eradicate.
Where's the defilement?
The defilement is that when they don't see at the ultimate reality only.
Where is it?
Where is what?
Where is the defilement?
It's based on which.
Where?
So defilement based on even just the ultimate truth, there's nothing, no problem. But the defilement arises from there.
Where is it now? We are talking about defilement, but where is it? Is there defilement now?
Yes.
Where is that? Did Buddha teach too? Or didn't he?
Where is the defilement? The defilement arises by its condition, cannot say where is that.
There must be. It arises with what? In what?
At this moment, what is the defilement?
It can arise with the audible object or what is heard.
No.
The Buddha heard the sound also. Defilement doesn't arise, so defilement is not in the sound, right?
Like now, is there any defilement?
There might have some defilement.
Mm-hmm. Not
Perhaps I think sometimes don't have.
So it's being eradicated?
Not really.
So
but
where is it if it's not eradicated yet?
It has reason for it to arise.
Can we say the defilement is here and now, at this very moment, like now? You know, hear pleasant sound, thinking, attachment, or now someone says something we don't like, aversion. Can we say, or moments of just not knowing anything, moments of ignorance? So can we say it's here and now, at this very moment, defilement? Yes. So this is where it is. It's just here and now, at this moment, arising all the time. Nowhere to go, no need to go anywhere to find it, no need to look for other people or anything to find it, but actually it's here and now at this very moment. Thinking, not liking what we hear, aversion instantly, liking what we hear, attachment, seeing attachment, here and now. And this is what the Buddha's teachings are about, because if there's no understanding of defilement here and now, if it's always thinking about another time or another situation, what is known about attachment right now, aversion right now at this moment, ignorance right now, no other defilement, only the here and now defilement, that's all there is, right?
There is understanding at the moment of unwholesome come unwholesome dhamma. So what's then unwholesome? There are something to support. Let's say.
So now let's get back to. So okay, we agree there's defilements here and now at this very moment. Like we feel unhappy for a moment. There's aversion, it's defilement here and now. So anything to be done to support understanding, or just when it arises? A little can be known about its characteristics. It's just a dharma, it's not mine or yours or Tom's, it's just a dharma. It arises, it can be known, falls away instantly. Nothing that needs to be done to support any understanding or any abandoning or anything else, but at that moment when it appears and there's a little understanding, it's the very beginning of understanding and detachment towards it. And then seeing, hearing as normal, different dharmas, each one fallen away instantly. But just
because you are not in the situation where there are a lot of troublesome or disadvantages for your development. That's why you don't see the benefit of something which is not troublesome or not disadvantage to what you want to do.
About as the situation is actually like whether we're talking about the monk's life or any other situation like cups and saucers, it's actually just a shorthand that we use by way of conventional speech, but actually there are only dharmas, and we know that each dharma, whether now or what you call in the troublesome situation, it's just a different dharma that is conditioned. And even at those times in what you call the troublesome situation, it's like now, it's seeing, it's thinking, defilements, strong or weak, just like, and it's still only just the present Dharma that can ever be known. So at that moment, like now, there's seeing and there's defilement, maybe there's aversion because it's troublesome situation, but only that aversion that rises for an instant can be known. So at that time, just like now, if there's thinking, oh, we better go to another situation, it's just thinking about me and how I can avoid just understanding Dhamma as Dhamma.
And now with your current condition, you already have developed as some extent of understanding, then you may can put you in any situation, you may still can understanding about reality at that moment. But for those one who don't have such a good condition, let's say they have to work 24 or 20 hours per day, or you have the children to disturb you most of the time in a day, or you have some family problem, you always have to worry about that. So you don't have time to read or to develop or to listen or to consider or to develop understanding.
So the person who has enough understanding so that it arises in any situation, the question is, how did that understanding develop?
Well, those things which support to you for you to have better condition to develop. Let's say you walk in a room with a lot of dusty and too messy, so you need to sweep the floor and rearrange the house item to be to walk so that you can reach the toilet or you can use the kitchen.
So what is the analogy you are trying to say then? What are the dusty things and the furniture that needs rearranging in terms of the development of awareness of realities you're talking about? So I don't please explain.
But the example I take for to say about the benefit of the those things of doing those things which is for better condition for the development.
We've all been in busy situations, we've all been in troublesome times, but because we keep thinking about this situation or that situation and not understanding about dharmas now, we think it's the situation, the people, the place that's important, but we don't understand that the only hindrance on the path is ignorance and wrong view now. If no ignorance and wrong view, no problem at all. And what is the most dusty of all? It's not anything to do with the place or the furniture. The only really dusty thing in life is the kilesa at this very moment, no matter where or what or when or how.
I think maybe we mix up two things. One is the development of understanding, and the other one is what the people are capable to understand. I think these are two things, separate things, and we should not mix up, right? Because if we are clear about what is the development of understanding is, then what the other people are capable to understand or not is not the fault of the way of the development of understanding.
Yeah, there are many things is helpful on the way.
Yeah. Who doesn't have trouble?
Less trouble is one of the conditions good to support for, better for what to be achieved.
Actually, what is trouble?
Trouble inside or outside?
Any.
What is trouble?
Both. Trouble can be inside or outside.
What is the inside trouble?
Inside trouble is the defilement.
Can it be cured or eradicated?
It can be cured.
By? What can cure it?
By many quality, including understanding, but understanding is not only one.
But the most important one. Without it, it cannot be eradicated at all. So at any situation, the thinking just thinks about situation, but no understanding of any reality that Buddha taught at all.
It can be the case that understanding both about the reality at each moment and understand about the situation.
When there's moment of thinking about situation, that is not the moment of understanding. It can be later, but at that such moment, it's not understanding because there is idea all the time as so very real. But now, any time, anything which appear, Buddha thought about everything to be known as no self, no one at all. So when we think of trouble, it belongs to someone, right?
Not really, trouble is trouble.
So what is it?
There is the condition to be messy or to be...
So in order to have the trouble, you have to know what is conditions for that. Otherwise, how can you have the trouble as long as there are conditions for trouble to arise? You talk about conditions, many conditions, but if there is no understanding of conditions, there must be trouble or whatever you don't like at all the time, or whatever you like. So why not follow the teachings of the Buddha about what's the benefit of great value of his teaching about realities as not self, as anatta. Otherwise, there must be the idea of situation and atta all the time.
That is the final destination, but on the path there. Not,
but in order to get there, can you just jump there without any understanding or development at all?
Of course, we have to walk there and on the path.
Can it be now that we can develop that path? Leading
that
to
if now every time we try to be at the present
not,
moment
not,
is the not jump
we try,
up,
not
is
we
jump
try.
To the
no,
ultimate
not
destination.
Not we try at all. We cannot try. No one can try. But understanding is a reality from hearing and considering carefully. Otherwise, there must be I think or I'll do. Or it's me who can solve the problem or the trouble.
I think many people think that now we are jumped to the present moment, reality at the present moment.
So are we jumping now?
Because it's...
Are we jumping now?
It's too far.
No, not at all. Very, very little to really understand what is seen. This we talk about a lot in order to be reminded that what is seen cannot be people and things or anything at all. It's only a reality in order to have less attachment, to take it for something like whenever they're seeing something all the time. That is ignorance, not the Buddha teachings at all. He taught about each different moments. The moment of seeing is not the moment of thinking. No matter seeing arises and falls away in split seconds, but it can be known, but can be conditioned to have less and less attachment to take it for something permanent, like ant or anything or situation. That is too far to know. Because it's now, is there any understanding or learn to think about that which is seen, just to think about, in order to have more and more confidence of the teachings that nothing lasts long at all. Otherwise, must be permanent situation, the end or I or everything. But even a moment cannot be taken for anyone because it's conditioned to be seeing, to be hearing. No one at all. We do not jump.
This is the very beginning, and if there's not this very beginning of considering and understanding,
reality now. It'll never be far or anything else. So it has to be the beginning now. Nothing else is the beginning.
The last, not the beginning, the last destination.
Considering what is the reality now is the very beginning. Very, very beginning. The final destination is full comprehension of reality now in every aspect to the degree that all defilements are eradicated. But the beginning is just beginning to understand what is real now, how it's not situational things at all.
Even now mentioned a lot about the see visible object or the seeing consciousness or accumulation, it's just a perception or the story about that.
But if there's not the beginning to reflect on what is real at the moment now, we will always think in terms of the cups and the temple and the monk's life and the ants and the situations as being real. So the only way to begin to understand that this is just conventional ideas, concepts only, is to begin to consider what the realities are and how they are different from the concepts that we usually take for being real.
So we do not jump. We cannot jump to... Even Buddha said, what is seen now is visible object. It takes how long to realize that no one there at all? Very shortly? Or how long? Panya can develop to really understand that seeing is not thinking about that which is seen as something. Like now. And seeing and hearing cannot arise simultaneously at all. And there are moments in between which it thinks about whatever is heard or seen all the time. See, long way to go to really understand each word as not self.
You talk about jumping to the present moment. In fact, it's a matter of coming back to the present moment because we're constantly going away from it. So my question would be, what would we be better discussing than the reality of the present moment? What better topic for discussion is there if our goal is to understand the Buddha's teaching?
Sutta Buddha teach many other things to many different kind of listener and in different situations.
So what would you like to be talking about now, other than the reality of the present moment?
Nothing. I won't read more. I won't read more.
Do you agree that our understanding of what kusala or akusala now is very limited?
Yeah. Of course, it's not complete.
It's very far from being complete, right? So it is, even for ourselves, we cannot really tell when it's kusala, when it's akusala. So how can we determine for others whether if they do this or if they do that is kusala or akusala, or whether we encourage them to do this or do that is kusala or akusala, right? So only by hearing more about these present moments and about and when there's more understanding of what appears, there's more or clearer understanding of it, and we just can know for ourselves, right? Because we can think, okay, it's good if the people who don't have much understanding, you encourage them to go to the temple or to do this or to do that. But do you think that is it really helping them to develop more kusala? Or is it better to really explain them what is appears now can be understood, and that is the way to help them to really understand kusala and akusala, and that understanding will condition real kusala and akusala, and not by wanting to, but by conditions?
Just to come back to the Yogananda Sutta that you mentioned and the tense perception, so this is actually talking about understanding of dharmas, for example, inconstancy. This is what we were talking about yesterday, the impermanence of
five
aggregates of the khandhas, like visible object now, it's rupa khanda, it arises, it falls away. So what can know anything about the impermanence or inconstancy of visible object now? Only the developed understanding that begins by understanding what visible object is. So the same with all other conditioned dharmas. There can be reflecting on how they arise, they fall away, they're worthless, not worth clinging to at all, no matter its highest kusala, like rupa jhana or any kusala. Impermanent, gone, not worthy of attachment. And each of these dharmas is anatta. So again, what can understand these dharmas as anatta? Only the developed understanding. So as I say, it has to begin by understanding that it's only visible objects seen now, not a cup, not a table, not anything. This is the beginning of understanding Dhamma as anatta now. And like we said, unattractiveness of the body. Usually we think of the body as a whole and we dress it up and we think it's very attractive, but actually just impermanent rupas that arise and fall away, nothing attractive about them at all. And so on. So
but,
it's all about the development of understanding.
But at the moment of contemplating the unattractiveness of the body, is that the thinking? Or is that also the understanding which is necessary to develop? Because it's not reality.
Who is the one who really understands all dharmas as being foul, not beautiful at all? Like when we read about the perversions of perception, the vipalasas, the sotapanna is the one that can understand that the sotapanna is the one that no longer takes what is impermanent for permanent. Like for now, visible object seems to last, is taken for different objects, but for the sotapanna, no more taking what is impermanent for permanent, no more taking what is anatta for utter. So no more perversion of perception of these realities. But who is the one that no longer takes what is foul for being beautiful, or what is dukkha for being sukha, who no longer has any more perversions of perception at all?
The Arahant.
And the Anagami no longer takes what is foul for beautiful, and the Arahat no longer takes what is sukha for dukkha.
Can anything be object of right understanding?
I think anything including concept.
Does concept arise and falls away?
Concept is also an object of
the mind.
Yes, but the question is whether concept arise and fall away. Does it arise and does it fall away, the concept?
It is not one single reality to arise and pass away, but actually it is the one who succeeded.
So what is meant by concept? Can this have concept? The cup, can it has concept?
Can it have concept?
The cup is a concept, but the cup cannot have concept.
The cup is not concept. So what is concept?
The idea of the cup.
So it's the thinking.
Yeah, the thinking.
So what can be object of right understanding to know as not self, which arises and falls away?
At that moment, they might not have the understanding of not only the understanding about the non-self, but it also can be the understanding of the cessation or the unattractiveness.
So what is concept? Who has concept? Is the concept now?
Yes.
So what is that?
The idea of something.
So it's thinking.
Yeah, it's
no
thinking.
One at all. Seeing cannot have concept. Hearing cannot have concept, right?
No.
So only at moment of thinking of concept. But concept is not real. Thinking is real. Thinking arises, it thinks of concept.
So concept is not real, but through that there
is understanding. So what is through at that moment as not self?
Through the concept, understanding that different conditions there.
Does concept arise?
The idea of the concept.
The concept. What is it? Thinking things of concept. But concept does not arise. That which does not arise and fall away, can it bring about the understanding of its nature of that which is conditioned to arise and fall away? No self, no one.
So is that the offering the lunch is also the concept?
Offering again, what about now? Jump over there.